B'syata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Mem Vov. We're going to start 8 lines from the top of the Omud. We saw in the previous sugya that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda that there is Muktzah and not like Rabbi Shimon, who does not hold of most cases of Muktzah. Says the Gemara, Umi Omar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, can Rabbi Yochanan really hold this way that the halach is like Rabbi Yehuda with Muktzah? We know that there's a rule. Rabbi Yochanan says that whenever you have a Stam Mishnah, that's a Mishnah which does not tell us the name of which Tana is saying it, then the halacha is like that Mishnah. Utnan, and we have a Stam Mishnah in Maseches Kelim, and we discussed it at length on Daf Mem Daled Amud Beis, discussing a Muchni Shelo Bizman Sheinishmetes, a type of coach where the wheels are actually detachable wheels. They're not fixed, they're not connected in a permanent way. Then there's a number of halachic ramifications of the fact that the wheels are not an integral and permanent part of the coach. And we saw this 4 halachas, and I'm sure you all remember from Daf Mem Daled Amud Beis the details. We'll just read it here again. The Muchni Shelo, the wheels of this coach, Bizman Sheinishmetes, when they are detachable, Ein chibur lo, they're not called a single unit with the coach. Ve'ein nimdedes imo, when measuring whether it's called arboim so, whether it's big enough to be called not a kli, if it's too big to be called a kli, it does not become tome. Ve'ein matzeles imo, bo'ehel hames. We know that a kli that's too big, then if it hovers over a dead person, then it does not become tomei, and since these wheels are detached, then the wheels will become tomei. Ve'en geirin oisa b'shabbos b'zman sheyesh oleo mois, and when there were coins, when there are coins on this wheel, then if the wheels would be permanent, we would say that since the main part of the coach does not have any coins on, you can move it, even if there's coins on the wheel. But if the wheel are, so to speak, an entity of their own, if there are coins on it, you're not allowed to move it on Shabbos. Ha ein ole omois, but in the event that there are no coins on the wheel, sharia, then you're allowed to move the coach and the wheels will move with it. Afel gavda havu aleo bebein ashmoshes. We're assuming that the way to read the Mishnah is that if there's no coins on the wheel now, you're allowed to move it. Even though there were coins on the wheel when Bein HaShmoshes, when Shabbos came in. And this is a Stam Mishnah that says that you're allowed to move it. Even though there were coins on the wheel during Bein HaShmoshes, that's only Reb Shimon. And since it's a Stam Mishnah, Reb Yochanan paskins like that, this seems that he paskins like Reb Shimon, not like Reb Yehuda. Says the Gemara, no. Omer Reb Zeira, Tehei Mishnah Seinu, Sheloi Hoyu Oleo Mois, Kol Bein Ashmoshes. When it says that Ein Oleo Mois, it doesn't mean there are no coins on it now on Shabbos, even though there were coins on it during Bein Ashmoshes. No, it means if there were no coins on it during Bein Ashmoshes. And that's what the Mishnah means, Ein Oleo Mois. If there were no coins on it during Bein Ashmoshes, then you're allowed to move it at any point during Shabbos, providing there's no coins in it at that point. And even though this is not so fluent in the Mishnah seems to be saying that it depends on whether there are coins on it now, but even if there were coins on it during Bein Ashmoshes, it would not be Muktzah. And here we're twisting it a little bit and saying that it's talking about that there were no coins on it during Bein Ashmoshes. In order not to have a contradiction with Rabbi Yochanan, that on one place he says that halacha is like a Stam Mishnah, which would mean that Rabbi Yochanan paskins like this Mishnah, and elsewhere we see in the previous sugya Rabbi Yochanan paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, in order not to get confused and have a contradiction, we would rather explain the Mishnah a little bit, not the way it seems initially, and the Mishnah is only saying that if there were no coins there during Bein Ashmoshes, then one is allowed to move it during the rest of Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Pam achas holach Rebbe l'diuspora. Rebbe went to a place called Diuspora, v'hoira, and he ruled as follows. B'menoira k'reb Shimon b'neir. He said these few words, that the halacha is by a menoira like Reb Shimon b'neir. So Menorah is talking about a lantern. We discussed a Menorah in the previous sugya. And the halacha is like Reb Shimon ben Neir. And we know that Reb Shimon holds that a Neir, provided that it's not lit now, it's not muktzah. And the Chachomim had a discussion. What did Rebbe actually mean? He said four words. B'menorah k'Reb Shimon ben Neir. What does that mean? Is that one ruling or two rulings? Iboyeluhu, they asked. Hoira b'menorah k'Reb Shimon ben Neir l'hatera. Did Rebbe mean that the halacha by menorah is like Reb Shimon ben Neir, and we know that Reb Shimon ben Neir says that there's no muktzah, it's mutter? Oidilmo, maybe no. Rebbe said two rulings. Hoira b'menorah. He gave a halacha, a psak by menorah. What's the psak by menorah? Le'isura. Or k'Reb Shimon ben Neir, he also paskened regarding the Neir, the halacha is like Reb Shimon l'hetera. Teiku. The Gemara says we have to let that stand. We have no way of knowing exactly what Rebbe meant. Continues the Gemara. Rev Malchia ikla lebei Rev Simloi. Rev Malchia was visiting the home of Rabbi Simloi with Tiltail Shraga, and he moved a menorah, he moved a lamp. V'ikbei Rev Simloi. Reb Malchia obviously ruled like Reb Shimon. Reb Simloi, who was the owner of the home, who ruled like Reb Yehuda, and Reb Simloi was makbid. He wasn't happy with the fact that Reb Malchia, he ruled like Reb Shimon in his own home, since him being the master of the home, the owner of the home, ruled like Reb Yehuda. Continues the Gemara. Reb Yosi Glila, Reb Yosi from the Golil, he didn't come to the home of Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina. He came to the town or the city, the place of Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina. Tiltil Shraga, and he moved a lamp, which only according to Reb Shimon is muta, according to Reb Yehuda it's mukta. V'ikped Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina, and Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina was not happy with the fact that he moved it, since Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina was the Rav in that town, in that place, and he held like Rabbi Yehuda, and he expected Rabbi Yosi Glila to respect his psak. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Avohu k'ikla l'asrid Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. When Rabbi Avohu came to visit the place of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, have a metaltel shraga, he would move a lamp like Rabbi Shimon. K'ikla l'asrid Rabbi Yechanon. When he came to the place of Rabbi Yechanon, lo have a metaltel shraga, he did not move a lamp like Rabbi Yehuda. Asks the Gemara, Monavshech, make up your mind. If you rule like Rabbi Yehuda that it's mukta, le'evit Rabbi Yehuda, then even if you're in the place of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, you should still rule like Rabbi Yehuda. It's mukta. How can you touch it? And if you rule like Rabbi Shimon that it's not mukta, le'evit Rabbi Shimon, then even in the place of Rabbi Yechanon, you should still say it's not mukta. I rule like Rabbi Shimon. Says the Gemara, no. He held the Mi'ikra Din, according to the letter of the law, the halacha is like Reb Shimon, there's no mukta. Because of the kavod of Reb Yechanon, he did not want to touch something which Reb Yechanon held was mukta, because Reb Yechanon ruled like Reb Yehuda. So in the place of Reb Yechanon, he respected Reb Yechanon's psak and did not touch the things that Reb Yechanon held were mukta. Continues the Gemara. Oma Reb Yehuda. Omer Rav Yehuda, Shraga de Mishcha Shori Letaltila. A lamp that's not lit with petrol or with some very bad smelling oils, it's lit with regular oil. It does not become ma'us. Then even though according to Reb Shimon, whilst it's lit, you're not allowed to move it, as we've seen previously, once the lamp gets extinguished, you're allowed to move it. It's not ma'us, it's not mukta. And therefore, shari little tula, it's mutter to move it. The nefta, however, if the oil that's used is a type of gas, a type of something which has very got bad smell, also little tula, you're not allowed to move it. It's mukta because it's ma'us, it's repugnant, and therefore, even according to Reb Shimon, no one would use it for anything besides for lighting a lamp with it. And since you cannot light a lamp on Shabbos, even according to Reb Shimon, it will be mukta. Rabbi Reb Yosef to Omri Tarvayu, Rabbi Reb Yosef argued with Rav Yehuda and held the nefta namishari, even this lamp that's lit with neft, which has a bad smell, it's muta little tula to carry it, to move it. And we'll soon see why. it's the Gemara here in brackets, but really comes from later, because this lamp can be used to cover, to be a lid for other vessels, and therefore, even according to Reb Shimon, even though it's got a bad odor, a bad smell, nonetheless, it's not mukta. Continues the Gemara. Reb Avya iklo lebei Rava. Reb Avya was visiting Rava. Hava meison beikare betina. His shoes were dirty with dirt. Asive apurio kameda Rava. He put his dirty shoes onto the bed in front of Rava. Ikpid Rava. Rava was not happy about that. Boya litzure. He decided to challenge Reb Avya. Nechsam Sofer explains that this challenge was supposed to lead itself into a place where Reb Avya would have to agree that he could have and possibly should have cleaned his shoes, even though it was Shabbos. Omarle, my tama Rabbi Reb Yosef de Omer Tarvayu Shraga de Nefto Nami Shori Letiltule. He asked him, Rava asked Reb Avya, why is it that according to Rabbi and Reb Yosef that we just saw in the Gemara now, that according to Reb Shimon, a lamp that's lit with neft is not mukta? Omerle, hoyel v'chazya l'chasuye be'mona. I'll tell you why. Because this lamp, even though you wouldn't use it as anything, the inside of this kli, the vessel, is made to only be a lamp. You wouldn't use it to drink from it because it's mos, it's repugnant. However, you can use it to cover another vessel with it. So Rava asked him, elame'ato kol tzreiris shebechotza metaltolin hoil v'chazya l'chsuye b'humono. Are you going to say that any pebble, any stone in the yard, you can use it to put it on top of a vessel, and therefore it shouldn't be mukta? Of course it's mukta. The fact that you can cover a vessel with it should not take away the is of mukta. Omer le ho'ika teiras kli oleo. Unlike a stone, ho leka teiras kli alem. The stones do not have the tzura, they do not have the form, they don't look like kelim, they're not vessels. And therefore they are mukta. However, this lamp, it's a kli. And it's a kli that has a use to cover another vessel, therefore it's not mukta. And Reb Avya is going to bring proof to this. Miloi Tanya, did we not learn in a braisa? Hashirim, which are the bracelets, vanezomim, and nose rings, vatabois, and other rings, harehen kechola kelim, hanitolim b'chotza. Even though the Chachomim did not allow the women to go out with this into the streets, they might take them off, they might carry them. However, as long as you're not wearing them when you're going out, you're allowed to carry them in a chotza. Chotza is a place that you're allowed to carry. You're allowed to carry them, they are not mukta. V'oma Ula. Ula explains why they're not mukta. Ma'atam hoyel v'ika toiras kliolel. Since they have the shape, the form of something, of a vessel or of an object, a normal item, it's not just a stone, an inanimate object, and therefore it's not mukta. Hachanami hoil v'ika teiras kli oleo. Reb Avya says, so too, this lamp, even though it's regularly lit with neft, which is a bad smell, nonetheless, it's a kli, and since teiras kli oleo, and you can use it to cover another kli with it, therefore it's not mukta. Nachsam Sefer explains that Rava himself was not aware of this braisa, and he was hoping that Reb Avya would explain, saying that Rava himself on Davkuf Nun Dalet Amud Beis held that one would have been allowed to clean one's shoes, and therefore Rava was hoping Reb Avya would make reference to that, and then Rava would be able to say to him, so why didn't you clean your shoes before coming in? Why do you put them on my bed when they're dirty? But Reb Avya answered this braisa, and he explained that the difference between regular stones and this lamp is that it has toiras kli oleo, and brought proof from this braisa that Rav himself was not aware of. And the Gemara now says, Omer of Nachman by Yitzchok, Brich Rachmona, have to thank Hashem, Deloi Ksifei Rav Reb Avya, that Rav did not manage to embarrass Reb Avya. Continues the Gemara, Romi le Abaye le Rabba. Abaye is going to ask Rabba an apparent contradiction. Tanya, we learnt in a braisa, Moisara Shemen Shebaneir, the leftover oil in a lamp after it's been extinguished, after it's gone out, Veshebekara, or part or any of the oil that's dripped into the bowl under the lamp when it was lit on Shabbos, Osur, one is not allowed to use it, or you're not allowed to move it on Shabbos. It's Mukta. Reb Shimon Matir, as we've learned in this perek, Reb Shimon does not hold its muktzah, and as soon as the lamp is extinguished, he can take the oil. Alma, l'Reb Shimon less le muktzah. So you see, it seems from this brisa, Reb Shimon does not hold of muktzah. Uraminu, and this seems to contradict a different brisa. The brisa says, Reb Shimon oimer, kol she'ein mumoy nikur me'erev yontav, ein ze min amuchon. So, in order to understand this, we have to know there's a mitzvah, a chiyuv called bechayr. The firstborn kosher animal from its mother is a bechayr and has to be brought to the Beis Hamikdash as a korban. If the korban gets a mum, a type of blemish that's not healable, that's not going to be healed ever, only then is one allowed to shecht the bechayr and eat it. And the same applies nowadays, even though we do not take it to the Beis HaMikdash, an animal that has Kedushas Bechayr is not allowed to be shechted unless it receives a mum that's not going to be healed. And only an expert in mumin, in blemishes, is allowed to determine whether an animal has such a type of blemish and can be shechted or not. So the Braisa says that kol she'ein mumoy nikur me'erev yontav, this bechayr, if the blemish that it has that is questionable and needs an expert to determine that one can shecht it, if it did not have such a mum and it wasn't easily discernible and noticeable before the onset of yontav that it had such a mum, then even if on yontav it would receive such a mum, then ein ze min amuchon, it's mukta, you're not allowed to. Even if you bring an expert, you're not allowed to shecht it on yontav, it's mukta. And this is Reb Shimon. So here Reb Shimon says that if it had a blemish before yontav and you already had in your mind, I'm going to call the expert and the expert may say I can shecht it, it's not mukta. But in the event that the ein mumay nikar erev yontav, then in your mind, this was a regular bechayr and you had no intentions of shechting it. It's mukta, so even if it has such a mum and you call an expert over yontav, you're not allowed to shecht it, it's mukta. In zemin amuchan. So this seems to contradict the braisa we saw before, that Reb Shimon says there's no such thing as mukta. Says the Gemara, no, hochi hashta. I'll explain to you the difference. Hosam odom yeshivu matzape emosait chabe neiroi. Regarding a lamp, everyone knows the lamp is going to extinguish itself at some point, and a person is just waiting for the lamp to extinguish itself, and then he can take the oil. So right from the start, in his mind, he knew that the oil was only going to be lit for a certain amount of time, and the rest of the oil, he had in his mind that he was going to use it. Hocha, but in the case of the Bechayr, Odom Yeshiv Matzape Mosa Yipoil Beimum, is a person sitting and waiting for this Bechayr to have a blemish? Meimomar, a person is certainly saying to himself, Mi Yemed Nofil Beimumma, who says Bechlal, there'll be a blemish to this animal, Vim Tim Tzoleimad Nofil Beimumma, and even in the event that some blemish does happen to it, Mi Yemed Nofil Beimum Kavua, who says it's going to be a permanent type of blemish, maybe it will be a healable type of blemish, in which case it would not allow us to shecht it. Vim tim tolema denofal beimum kavua, even in the event that a permanent blemish is going to happen to this animal, miyemud mizdakik lechochem, who says that a chochem is going to be prepared over yontav to get involved with it and to give that ruling that you can shecht it. And therefore, even according to Reb Shimon, a person has it totally out of his mind to the idea of shechting a bechayr on Yom Tov, unless it has a mum before Yom Tov, and then a person is already geared up for the possibility that the expert will say you can shecht it. But otherwise, it's completely muktzah. Not like the lamp, where a person right from the beginning knows there's a good chance that the oil will be left over, I'll be able to use it. Continues the Gemara, Mosiv Romi Bar Choma. Romi Bar Choma asked the following question. We know that when a woman makes a neder, the husband can undo it, and that's called Haforas HaNeder. Mefirin Nedorin B'Shabbos. If a woman makes a neder, for example, she's not going to eat on Shabbos, and her husband is allowed to, on the day that he hears about the neder, he's allowed to be mefir, he can undo the neder, he's allowed to undo it on Shabbos. And besides, for a husband being able to undo a neder, a chacham can also undo a neder. And a neder, which is letzayrach Shabbos, for example, if a person made a neder, he was not going to eat on Shabbos, he can go to the Rav and do hatoras nedarim and undo the neder on Shabbos. Asks the Gemara, v'amai, if this woman, for example, said she's not going to eat, then in her mind, food was out of touch. She's not going to eat this food. So food for her should be muktzah. And are you going to say, well, the husband could be matir the neder, and then she can eat on Shabbos, and therefore it's not muktzah? No. According to what we just said now, that even according to Reb Shimon, a person will not take it for granted that people will be there to help him. In the case of Reb Shimon, it was there won't be an expert there to say that the Bechor is allowed to be shechted. In our case, maybe her husband won't be there or will not want to be matir the neder. V'amai, lema, is this woman not saying to herself, miyema de mizdakik lo bal, maybe my husband won't get involved and won't be matir the neder. So in her mind, food is out of range. So even if the husband is matir the neder, why is she allowed to touch the food? Says the Gemara, no. Hosam kudur of Pinchas mishmei derava, the omer of Pinchas mishmei derava, kol hanoideres al das ba'alohi noideres. A woman, every time she makes a neder, she has in mind that this is permitting, or is his husband permitting. If the husband is not undoing the neder, then the neder will be valid. But she knows very well that her husband could come, hear about the neder, and be mefer the neder straight away. And therefore, even in her mind, she assumes, or she entertains the idea that it could be, she will be able to eat the food on Shabbos. Toshima, the Gemara continues to ask. We just saw in this brisa, nish'olim l'nedorim shel tzorech ha-Shabbos b'Shabbos. One is allowed to go to a Rav and be matir neder in order to be able to eat on Shabbos. Va'amai, according to what we said before, that a person would say to himself, maybe the expert won't want to get involved. Lema miyema demizdakik lechachem. Here too, maybe the chacham will not want to be matir neder on Shabbos, and therefore the food that he was made a neder about should be muktzah, even if the chacham is going to be matir. In his mind, on the onset of Shabbos, he was not going to go anywhere near the food. Says the Gemara, no, it's different. Hasam iloy mizdakik lechacham sagi lebegimel adyotis. In the case of the neder, even if a chacham will not want to get involved, so you won't have a chacham, you'll go to three simple people, even if it's not a chacham, and they can also be matir the neder in the same way as a single chacham can be matir a neder. Hacha, but in the case of bechayr, miyemed mizdakik lechacham. In the case of bechayr, only an expert can determine and rule that this is a blemish that is fixed and you can shecht the bechayr. And if the chacham doesn't want to get involved, you cannot go to three people who are not experts. And therefore, only in that case, the idea that a chacham may not want to get involved is enough to make a muktzah. Continues the Gemara. Romi le Abaye le Rav Yosef. Abaye is asking a contradiction, a question to Rav Yosef. Mi omar Rav Shimon, kov som muta le taltalo. We saw on Daf Mem Dalad Omad Aleph in a brisa that according to Rav Shimon, a lamp after it's been extinguished is not muktzah, and you're allowed to move it. Kovso in, but that's only after it's extinguished. Loi kovso, but whilst the lamp is still alight, loi, one is not allowed to move the lamp. Even Reb Shimon agrees, you're not allowed to move the lamp. Mai tama, why not? Dilma behadi denoket lo, we're afraid that whilst you're going to move it, kovso, it's going to get extinguished, and kibui, extinguishing a flame, is severely also on Shabbos. Asks Abaye to Rav Yosef, Hashamino ne Reb Shimon, but is there not another quote from Reb Shimon to Omar that says, Dovah she'ein miskaven mutar, that if you do a malocha without intentionally doing it, it's mutar, even if the lamp will get extinguished by mistake whilst you move it, he didn't intend to extinguish the lamp, and therefore it should be mutar. If so, why are you not allowed to move a lamp, according to Reb Shimon, even when it's alight? Tanya, we saw in a brisa, Reb Shimon Oimer, Goyer Odom Kisei Mitov Asafsel, a person is allowed to drag a chair, a bed, or a bench, Ubilvad Shelo Yiskavin Lasis Choretz, even though you're digging a little ditch in the land, as long as you're not intending to dig, to plow the land, you're allowed to do it on Shabbos. Why? Because it's a davar she'einim miskaven. You're not intending to do the melacha. And according to Reb Shimon, it's muta. So if so, why are you not allowed to move a lamp when it's on? Says the Gemara, kol heicha d'chi mechaven ikka yisure do'iraisa. In the event that, should you, for argument's sake, should you be doing it with intention, it's an issa do'iraisa, then kiloy mechaven, even when you don't have the intention to do the melacha, goza Reb Shimon midrabonon. Reb Shimon makes an gzeira that it's also midrabonon. And therefore, since if you intend to extinguish a lamp, it's an issa d'oraisa, therefore, you're not allowed to move the lamp because maybe the lamp will get extinguished by mistake. And even though it's a davar she'einim miskaven, but since if it would be miskaven, it would be an issa d'oraisa, Reb Shimon says it's osa. However, kol heicha d'machi mechaven ikka isura midrabonon, but in a case where even if you have intentions, it's only osa midrabonon. For example, if you had intentions to plow the land using a bed, a chair, or a bench, where it's only osa midrabonon. Why? Because it's not a normal way of plowing. You don't plow with a bench, you plow with tools for plowing. So even if you had intentions of plowing, it's only osa midrabonon. In that case, kiloy mechaven, in the case where you did not even want to intentionally make the ditch, Shori Reb Shimon lekatchila. Over there, Reb Shimon says it's muta lekatchila. Continues the Gemara. Mosiv Rava. Rava's going to ask a question on this. Moichrei ksus. If a person is selling garments and he knows that his garments may have kilayim in it, woolen linen, and you're not allowed to have any benefit from a cloth that has kilayim, but it was typical back in those days for the seller of the garments to wear the garments as advertising. Is he allowed to wear a garment if it has kilayim? So the moichrei ksus, moichrin kedarkon, he's allowed to do what all sellers do. He can wear the garments, providing that you don't intend to have pleasure from it in the summer to protect you from the sun, and in the rain to protect you from the rain. If you do not have intention to have benefit from the kilayim, it's mutter. But those who are very medaktik and don't do anything that could even look like an aveira, mafshilin b'makir l'achiren, they put the garment onto a type of a hanger, on a pole, and hang it over their backs, and that way they're not actually wearing the garment, and that's a more preferable way of advertising and showing the clothes. V'ha-hocha, asks the Gemara, d'chi mischavin, somebody who wears the clothes with the intentions of having benefit from it and pleasure from it, it's an issa d'oraisa. Kiloy mechaven, when he doesn't have intentions to do it, shori Reb Shimon lekatchila. How can Reb Shimon say that it's muta lekatchila to do that? It says that moichrei ksus, moichrei kedarkon. Why do we not make a gzeira? Since if you have pleasure from it, it's an issa d'oraisa. Even if you do not intend to have pleasure from it, it should be also midrabonon. Ela omar Rava. Rava says that the fact that you could be even issa d'oraisa is not the reason to say that when you don't do it intentionally, it should be osa. If so, we're back to our original question, according to Reb Shimon, why are you not allowed to move a lamp when it's lit? So says Rav, I'll explain to you why. Hanach l'ner shemen upsila hoil denase bosis l'dovar ha'osur. Whilst the lamp is lit, then the flame itself is a dovar ha'osur. And the lamp is holding, is a bosis, is a base, it's holding the flame. And since it's holding the flame, you're not allowed to move the flame even via the lamp. That means the reason is not because we're afraid you're going to extinguish the lamp. No, that alone, according to Reb Shimon, if you didn't have intentions to extinguish the lamp, would not be reason to say it's osa. But since you're carrying the flame, and the flame is mukta, that's why, since it's a bosis, you're not allowed to move the lamp. And in Mirtz Hashem, in the next sugyo, we'll learn in the next daf, we're going to learn more about a bosis, the halachas of something that's holding something that's mukta.